From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
See, we really don't have trouble giving. We give all the time. We give to McDonald's, the movie theaters. We give to Macy's. We give to this. We give to vacations. Big buck. Yeah, we give all the time. Give to God. God? Give to God? Oh, I don't know about that. Give to God? Yeah, give to God. Okay, here's a dollar. Dollar, that's all. That's dollar.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, part two of a message that, well, quite frankly, makes some people squirm just a little bit. Some folks get a little uncomfortable at the subject of giving. Well, sit back, relax, and take a deep breath. Today, Pastor Wayne has some words that I think you'll find very encouraging. Here he is with the conclusion of a message entitled, Connecting Giving to Life.
Because you see, there are times Anna and I actually would have to take back groceries because we, isn't that right, honey? Yes, because she's here taking notes. Check him out on this. But she'd have to take back groceries because we just didn't have the money in our envelopes, just not enough. And we would come home, and this is true, people would leave groceries on our porch. And at first I'd go, hey, I don't need anybody's help. This is a, you know, give me handout kind of thing. Get out of here, I don't need this. And the Lord says, Wayne, you need to learn how to receive. I would never have learned that lesson if it hadn't been for the principle of the tithe. And God began to deal with my heart some wrong roots that were giving wrong symptoms and an ugly monster that would come up here and here in this relationship, that relationship. I'd say, how come? And God began to teach me to be able to receive from others because he said to me, Wayne, there's going to be a time in your life that you're going to have contribution from others' lives and others' ideas and others' partnership. You're not going to be able to do it alone. What I'm going to ask you to do, you've got to have the heart developed for that. Otherwise, you'll come to a point in ministry where you'll say, yeah, it's easier for me to do it myself. No, I can do it better. Nope, I'll do it. And then you develop the spectator kind of thing, and it's just a one-man show. But what God knew is that he would build a church built upon the principle of doing church as a team. And that heart had to be built back here. Otherwise, it's, hey, I can do it better myself. I'll just do it my own way. And God had to teach me how to receive from others that I refused to do so back then. I didn't need anybody's help. I can do it myself. No, I don't need your help. No, I can do it. And the Lord says, knock that off. That's a heart issue. And I learned how to receive. All of those lessons that are heart lessons, because giving is connected to life. That's why he speaks about that. It's not just giving. It's the roots that go in and affects everything else of our life that he takes and he goes through this so that he can heal our hearts and give us a future and a hope. You see, we often make three major mistakes in giving. Would you write them? And number one is letting circumstances rule my giving instead of the Bible. Letting circumstances rule our giving instead of the Bible. I can't do it. Nope, don't have enough money. Can't give. And we allow our giving to be misshapen by circumstances. Let's read Ecclesiastes 11:4. Ready? Go. He who watches the wind will not sow, and he who looks at the clouds will not reap. What God is saying is if you're always checking, I don't have enough money here, I don't have enough saved here, therefore I can't give, therefore, and we're letting circumstances dictate our giving rather than the Bible. And God is saying that's a heart issue that needs to change. Because if that happens and it's okayed and tolerated in my giving, what other areas is this root going to come out in to say, well, I know what God's word says, however, it's okay to do something different. Do you understand how giving is connected to all kinds of areas of life? And we think it's only in giving, but watch, it's going to be in everything. This spirit of craving will have symptoms in all areas of life, sort of like the spirit of anger is going to crop out of that. I can't get that. Why can't I? Because you don't have, I want that thing though, and we get mad. If I can't control something, if I can't have it, then this anger comes out. Or on the other side, depression, moodiness. Oh, I'm no good. We lack confidence. We get insecure. We worry about tomorrow. All of these things are symptoms of something way here at the core of craving. And so God uses this principle of giving in the tithe and changes our hearts. And the Lord is saying, no, Wayne, listen, don't let circumstances dictate your giving. Let my scriptures dictate that, because it's far more than giving. It's connected to life. That's just how it is. The second mistake that we make in giving is sowing in all the wrong places. Sowing in the wrong places. See, we really don't have trouble giving. We give all the time. We give to McDonald's, the movie theaters. We give to buy things. We give to Macy's. We give to this. We give to vacations. Big bucks. We give all the time. Give to God. God, give to God? Oh, I don't know about that. Give to God? Yeah, give to God. Okay, here's a dollar. Dollar, that's all. That's dollar. Here's the third mistake we make in giving, is we sow too little seed. You see, for years my philosophy was, how little can I give to God and still get by? How little can I give to God and still have Him like me? And God is saying, that's an issue of the heart. Sow in the right places, first of all. And you've seen in the book of Matthew where it says you can sow in hard places, you can sow in weedy places and shallow soil, or you can find good ground. We have wonderful churches all over Hawaii, but I want to say to you that this church has a vital message that God is using to touch the Pacific Rim, South Pacific, Asia. And I want you to know that the funds that you give are redeemed or converted into a vital message for the Pacific Rim. Now, some people will come and they'll say to me, Pastor Wayne, this church costs too much. I mean, look at all the stuff you guys buy. Look at those speakers. Look big, those speakers. The lights flashing all over. Oh, how come you do all that? Just lights, every place, lights. Well, you know, maybe true. They do cost these speakers. But in a book by Dr. Alan Redpath, he addresses this, and I thought it was really neat. Let me read to you this. It's from his book called The Royal Route to Heaven. It says this, listen. A certain Christian once said to a friend, our church costs too much. Takes much money to run this church. Her friend paused and then replied. She said, some time ago, a little boy was born into our home. He cost us a lot of money. From the very beginning, he cost us. He had a big appetite. He needed clothes, medicine, toys, and even a puppy. Then he went to school. That cost a lot more. Later, he went to college, and then he began dating, and that cost us a small fortune in itself. But then in his senior year in college, he was involved in a car accident, and he died. And you know what? Since the funeral, he hasn't cost us a penny. Now, she said, which situation do you think we would have rather had? And after a pause, her friend continued. She said, as long as this church lives, it will cost. When it dies for want of support, it won't cost us a dime. A living church has the most vital message for all the world today. Therefore, I am going to give and pray with everything I have to keep this church alive. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And this church has a vital message. And we've seen what God can do and has already done in the last 7 years. So I want to say thank you to this church, because really, this church is one of the most generous churches I know. And I don't speak this message to get anybody worked up. I give this message because it's a part of making our lives better, and giving is connected to something a whole lot bigger. It's the issue of a heart that I want to address, that God will use giving in order to access. So, sow in the right places, and then sowing too few seeds. Let's read what it says. Ready? Go. There is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want. When I give a little bit, the Bible says it results only in what? Want. It does nothing to the desires. You see, if I give the whole tithe into the storehouse, which is where you get your spiritual feeding from, your spiritual food from, your home church, as it were. If I give the whole tithe, then what it does, it allows the windows of heaven to open and God start to work on heart issues. But if I just kind of tip God, then what happens is my heart remains the same. Because where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. And God says, give me access to the whole heart. And that's how I access it. So the Bible speaks about sowing, not because it has to do with money, but because it has to do with heart. And sometimes God says, well, when I tithe, will I have more? Not always at the beginning. You might have less as far as finances, but often I will ask you to give up what is important to you in order that I might entrust to you something that is that's important to heaven. Which would you rather have? Another thing that it does, would you write in number two, is when we understand this principle of the tithe, he is able to work and cancel, would you write in there, the spirit of debt. Cancels the spirit of debt. Let's read Malachi 3:11. Ready? Go. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it may not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. When it speaks about vines casting its grapes, what it means is before the grapes are ripe, it falls off the vine and is destroyed. And God is saying that when you understand the principle of the tithe, I am able to stop the devourer on your behalf. And for a lot of us, it's that spirit of debt where we have to have something, where we crave something. We just got to have it. And it becomes something common. But the Lord is saying, no, I want to teach you humility and contentment that you can do without that. And your heart begins to strengthen. I remember there were times Anna and I, we'd be faithful to tithe, but then we wouldn't have all that much. And we would buy like boxes of Simeon. And cases of them, because if you figure it out, it's like 80 cents a meal. And it worked out real good. The kids would eat Simeon for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they would have that. And my children are a product of Japan. But through all of that, the Lord broke a spirit of debt, because I would always go into debt because I had to crave, had to have. And sometimes the Lord would have us give up stuff. We'd have garage sales, etc. And to break that. And I look back on it now and I think, you know, God, thank you, thank you, thank you for what you taught us through all of that. Because then as God prepares our hearts and our hearts get right and those roots die out, now he can give you financial prosperity. And when you understand where the true value comes from, you can use this for the kingdom's purposes and steward it wisely, but you don't try to draw life from it. Your lifeline is connected to heaven. It's a whole different source. And that has to take place before God can bless. And that starts with this principle of the tithe. And then you begin to realize how grateful you are for what God has given. Would you write that in number three? He rebuilds with it a grateful heart. A grateful heart. And that's what the tithe does. Charles Allen once said, I'd like to paint a picture of Jesus with that little lunch of a few fish and a few loaves in a sea of 5,000 people that needed to be fed. And he could have complained because he had so little in such a great need. But instead, he lifted up his eyes and gave thanks. In this huge need, he trusted his Father. The Bible talks about the tithe as putting God first. Let's read the scripture under number three. Ready? Go. The purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. You see, that's the principle of the tithe, to put God first. If you want God, if you're dating, and you want God to bless your dating or courtship, put God first in your courtship. That's why I tell girls, when you go on a date, put a Bible between you and the guy. Because if he tries to get to you, he's got to climb over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want God to bless your marriage, put him first in your marriage. If you want God to bless your finances, put God first in your finances. That's a principle of the tithe. You put God first. Abby, she'd always say to me, Daddy, when you come home from a trip now, you bring me something. And so I'd bring, you know, I'd go to Japan. I'd bring her colored pencils and erasers and little things. And she got tired of yukatas and sandals and stuff. And so I said, well, honey, what do you like? She said, you know what I like, Dad? I said, what? She said, I like beef jerky. I said, beef jerky? I'm going to Japan. She's about 6 years old, 7 years old. She says, but I like beef jerky. So I was in the airport, and they had this little package of beef jerky in Japan, made in Canada. And so I bought this and brought it home. When I got home, I said, Abigail, Dad got you a present from Japan, made in Canada. She said, really? What is it? I said, beef jerky. Her eyes got big. She said, oh, Dad, thank you. She gave me a big hug. And she said, could you open it for me? So I opened it for her and gave it to her. And she opened it and looked at it. And she gave it back to me. She said, Daddy, you have one first. I said, oh, no, honey. Dad bought it for you. She said, I know, but you take one too. Let's share. And my heart just burst. I thought, wow, what a grateful-hearted child. I wanted to buy her, like, a whole cow. Man. And I thought, that's how it is with our Father, isn't it? That the tithe is saying, Lord, thank you for all that you've given. God, you take first. And it just delights the Father's heart. Because of the gratefulness in his children. And God says, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. I will open up the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing that you will not even be able to handle. But it starts with developing a right-heartedness, and there's some roots that are going to affect you in life, and I access your heart through your giving here, and if you'll understand the principle of the tithe, I change your heart, and now I can add financial prosperity, but you understand where true value comes from, and now you can be a good steward of what I've given to you. Do you understand? It's the principle of the tithe, and if we cut short on the principle of the tithe, that's why you can be 50, 60, 70 years old, and the heart hasn't changed, or maybe it's gone wrong. And God is saying, do you understand? I said, oh, God, how you love us. Let me conclude with a story that helped me to see this. How, you know, I often know things in the Bible, but I'm afraid to really try it. Malachi says, now test me on this, saith the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven. You know, very seldom does God say, test me. But here he said, test me. I said, wow. I've told a story before about Blondin, who is used to be one of the best tightrope walkers in the world. They would stretch a cable across the Niagara Falls from Canada to America. He'd walk across the Niagara Falls on a cable, and then he'd take a wheelbarrow and roll it back over on this cable. I mean, he was just outstanding. This guy was amazing. And in one of these tight wire acts, people were huddled on one end, and he actually rode a bicycle across this thing. And the people, yeah, Blondin. And he said, how many of you believe that I can ride a bicycle back over? I said, oh, man, we'll believe. And he said, well, which one of you will get on this bicycle with me? It got really quiet. That's how churches are. You know, there's a story of a pastor once. He said, you know, we pioneered this church and we didn't have much. And so God just had us crawl because we wouldn't just stay still. We crawled. And someone in the back, you know how some churches respond, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. And he said, but we weren't satisfied with crawling. We decided to get up and we started walking. Let it walk, preacher, let it walk. And then we just believed God for more. And the congregation has grown. But we want to run. And somebody in the back said, let us run, preacher, let us run. And he said, in order for us to move forward like that, we've got to give because of our building offering so we can build a building. Someone in the back said, let it crawl, preacher, let it crawl. So Blondin said, who will get on the bicycle? And he got really quiet. Just then a little girl burst through the crowd. He just picked her up, put her on the bicycle, and started riding. And you could see all of these parents all over the place going, whoa, whoa, hey, what are you doing putting that little girl in peril? Wait! And that they just took off. Went to the other end, came back with her, and she's just smiling. When he arrived back, nobody applauded. All these parents are looking at him. Whose kid is that? And how dare you take this little girl and put her life at threat like that, in peril and danger? And then he put that little girl down. She just scampered down. And they were so mad, you could see the anger at all of these people's faces. And they said to the little girl, "How could you do that? Just jump up there." She smiled and she said, "It's okay." "What do you mean it's okay? Your life is in danger." "No," she said. "Well, why, how could you do that?" She looked up and she said, "Because he's my daddy." You see, Blondin was her father. And she could trust her dad because she knew he would never put her in peril. See, this is our father that said, "Test me on this and see if I will not adjust your heart and give you something that is so much more grand than you'd ever get from the glitter of the world." And we've got to change that. "Well, I don't know about this giving, so don't tell me." No, 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 it has nothing to do with giving. It has everything to do with your life. And then we begin to understand that he's our father and he knows what he's doing. And he says, "Try me on that. Just try me and watch what I will do." And I would be here to attest to you how faithful our Father is.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled "Connecting Giving to Life" by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Let me remind you of our website where you can find other helpful resources by Pastor Wayne, books, videos, as well as some of the music that he has written and recorded. That web address is www.enewhope.org. Here is Pastor Wayne with a song from his album, Lately I've Been Learning, a song called "You Shall Love."
Jesus came that we might live. Came not to judge, but to fulfill, that we might rejoice and be glad in everything, that we might follow in his will. He bestows gifts in many and encourage us all. One thing he asks that we not forget and stray from the giver of them all. He said, "You shall
is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening, and until next time, God bless you and aloha.